I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier.
Live from Red Sox spring training in Fort Myers, Florida.
Is brought to you by Arbella Insurance.
And by your New England Honda dealers, featuring the award-winning Honda CR-V.
I felt and continue to feel that the best thing we can do for our fans is to give them the facts, put them in a position to make their own judgment as to what happened in 2017, what the significance of that particular World Series is. I also, and I've said this before, very concerned about opening the door to altering results that took place on the field. There are a lot of things that have happened in the history of the game that arguably could be corrected, and I just think it's an impossible task for an institution to undertake.
Interesting. The commissioner of baseball thinks the best thing to do is to dole out the facts so that the fans can think on their own. If he had doled out the facts 2 weeks ago, he wouldn't be in the predicament he's in right now. So he lied 2 weeks ago and then discovered, oh my God, if you actually tell the truth, maybe baseball fans will actually understand what's going on here.
Yeah, but that whole thing, you can't handle the truth.
Very
good.
You
can't handle it. So I'm going to dumb it down for you.
I love when he talks about, you know, how these guys cheated. They didn't miss it. They actually cheated in the World Series. But you know what? I'll leave the judgment up to you. to have your own opinion on it.
Do you like cheaters?
Well, I mean,
you support cheaters.
What am I supposed to? You're the one that told me that they cheated during the season. You now tell me that you know that they cheated during the postseason. You say, well, it's up to you to form your own opinion. Okay, they cheated and shouldn't have won the World Series. How's that feel? Well, it's up to you.
So here's what I love.
What a cop out.
So bad things happen.
I want you to tell me what you think.
Right, but he. So bad things happen, and what he's doing is he's doling out more bad news every single day. As Lou just said, he originally stayed away from anything being affected in the playoffs. So we looked at it and said, okay, the regular season 2017, the Astros players cheated. But they didn't cheat in the postseason, so we really can't take the piece of metal away from them. We can't take away the championship trophy. Now he comes out last night and says, oh, by the way, a little wrong about something. They cheated during the playoffs in 2017, and he wonders why people are sitting there going, "You got to strip them of the title."
I mean,
what do you expect?
Hey, listen, do you think it's capable for him to just kind of let it kind of run its course? Because I would honestly feel like that's an option. Hey, listen, stop talking, let it run its course. No, I've got a no on that because the more he talks, the worse it gets.
I'm telling you,
the more the players talk. Oh, I just think it'll eventually run it. If he does nothing, it will run its course, and then there will always be this, just like any other scandal, there'll always be, well, you didn't tell us the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Because what's the alternative? The alternative is going the opposite way, stripping it and then being done. You screwed up. I screwed up. Now I'm taking it back.
You know, a lot of it changes. I think a lot of people have said it's just hearing him say it rather than a piece of paper, because looking at the report, there is a section in here when he talks about the Astros continue to utilize both the replay review and monitor located next to the dugout to decode signs for the remainder of the season and throughout the postseason.
Right, but he downplayed it when he first talked and when this first came out.
Yeah, but that's it, you know. Right. And then it's like, then you had Correa come out and said, we only did it regular season, we didn't do it in the postseason. He broke down the World Series game by game, you know. And then you have when he comes back out and says, yeah, I have enough to – when he says the words – that they cheated throughout the postseason. You know, what, days after Correa is like, no, we didn't.
Right.
I mean, it's just, I kind of tipped the cap to Correa with how he came out. I know he kind of looked foolish, but I almost like, you know what, at least there's a guy that's out there that just wants to throw himself out there in front of everybody. You want me to be the villain? Perfect. We need a villain. That's why I say it's good. Everybody's going to hate these guys. They'll hate the Patriots. They hate the Yankees old school. Whatever. You need a villain. And that guy right there, Correa, to me, when he sat there with Ken Rosenthal, became one, which I think is beautiful.
So you think that the Patriots, you think that the Houston Texans are in lockstep with as far as the amount of hatred that is directed at them as a franchise.
It's going to be worse.
For different reasons,
worse.
But they are a villain. Yes. And it took longer.
They don't win enough.
But it's a good thing.
They don't win enough.
What do you mean they don't win
the
enough?
The Astros.
The Astros, they didn't win enough. They only won one.
They're a good team.
Been the best
I'm not
team.
Saying that they're not a good team, but they still haven't won it. They only won one.
No, the only difference is the popularity of football versus baseball. But
and that's part of it, too.
Okay, but other than that, right now, the Astros, in my opinion, there's no support of the Astros. I hate to tell you, go back in those 18 months we were doing Deflategate. There was support nationally. There were people that were coming out of the woodwork saying either it didn't do any good, there's no change in the football, throwing the football, whether you deflate it or not, or other people that were bringing up scientific evidence. You're not seeing anybody do this for the Astros.
Here's what I think one of the differences could be. The anger and attitude and hatred towards the Patriots was really jealousy. It's really what it was. Jealous of how much they won, jealous of their quarterback, jealous of the arrogant head coach, jealous of the, holier than thou owner. That's what I think that had a lot to do with the hatred. They won all the
time. Patriots.
For the Patriots.
Okay, but for the I agree, but it's sort of like the Yankees when they were winning the whole time. Now you throw in a couple possible cheating scandals in there, and now the anger grows. And that's where they are with the Patriots.
I know,
yes,
but
they
win
all
the
time. But
it's
not
the same with the
Astros. You throw in a Deflategate, you throw in a Spygate, you throw some things in, and that's what takes it to another level.
See,
it's
to
not
me,
just winning.
But they're not. But here's the thing: that the Astros are not being arrogant, other than Correa. They're being remorseful. They're taking the lap. They're taking the tour. They're doing the apology tour. If they were bragging and lying and carrying on, they didn't do that. So how are you going to hate them? They cheated. They got caught, and they're sorry about it.
Are they?
How can you?
No, they're not.
Well, listen, you can gauge
we're
somebody's apology all day long.
They got caught.
The fact is, they got caught.
They're sorry.
So
they got caught.
So,
they,
but how? Okay, fine. So what? I'll give you that.
Big difference.
How are you going to hate them? You're going to hate them for cheating and getting caught.
Hold on.
I hate them.
Their own people hate them. Today,
one dude with a trash can probably.
No, there were other people that were booing them and ridiculing. Did you ever see that at camp with the Patriots? Did you ever hear any of the Patriots fans?
No, but they're insulated. Because they're insulated.
They were sitting there applauding them.
When you go to Foxborough, when you go to Foxborough doing camp, you're insulated with Jerry Thornton's and Matt Chatham.
What do you think you are with the Astros at their camp?
Well, I'll say this.
Not the same loyalty.
And I would say that. Yeah, like I would agree. I could see people down here in Florida being like, you know what? I don't like the Astros. Let's go there and let them know what we think of them.
Other fans.
And they'll just go to camp just to bang a trash can.
They did
just
that to mess with them. Foxborough. They'd get jumped, and they know it.
Yeah.
The masses don't care.
By the way, the masses
in Foxborough are willing to say, listen, we're delusional. We don't care. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Houston, not a big enough fan base. The issue is easy for people to understand. That's why people like LeBron James and everybody else can jump on board with their 2 cents.
By the way, can I just throw that out there since you brought it up? LeBron James, I get it.
He likes to talk. He likes to say it. When's Kyrie going to chime in?
Hold on, but he got pissed off.
You won't understand.
When people were talking about the injustices and inhumanity that was going on in China because it was affecting his paycheck, he suddenly didn't want anybody else talking about it. He told people pretty much to shut up and stop talking about it. You don't know what you're talking about. But in this case, a totally different sport, he feels he can rat out and rip the commissioner.
Baseball reference.
He's so full of it. Stop it. He's so full of it.
Yeah.
Talk about a hypocrite. Dave is up next here on WEEI. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good,
what's
Dave.
Up, Dave?
Lou kind of stole my thunder while talking about just not letting them. You know, you find out, it comes down to the teams knew what was going on.
Okay, your thunder's been stolen.
What was the thunder point?
What was the point you want to get at?
The thunder point is when teams do this, it's, you know, let's get down to transparency. If you think the ownership didn't know, just like steroids, they allowed it in the clubhouse. So when it comes down to it, you find out a team did this in 2017 and 18, the next 2 or 3 years, they play the whole season, then they're not allowed to play in the playoffs.
It's not a bad idea.
I like it. I like it.
It's not a bad idea. So if you're looking at it, you're saying we really
make
can't
make an organization eligible for the postseason?
Yes, why not? Because I'm not sure that the owner necessarily knew, but the people right underneath him did. Matter of fact, he fired those people. So you can't really strip a team of a title because there's too much there. You can't give it to somebody else. You can't. Yeah, college is different. Okay, you're not talking about big, huge.
Oh, you're
money.
Talking about more money in
but
college.
But in this case,
that's the truth.
Why
right,
not
Tyler?
Do exactly what we were talking about with steroids? Maybe what you do is you make players ineligible for the playoffs, or you make the entire team ineligible for the playoffs. So the Astros can win 112 games in the regular season, disqualified for the postseason.
But also, don't you think there's also layers? Like, we had that, I don't know, whatever that website was that charted every single at-bat.
Sign-stealing scandal.
So Altuve didn't want to do it. 2. He didn't benefit from it, so he was barely involved. 2.8%, right? So you're going to give – and that's what they did. Okay, so there's a margin of error, plus or minus, whatever you want to call it. But really, how are you going to be able to do that? So Altuve gets X. Altuve gets 5 games. Correa gets 20. Bregman gets 6. I mean, what about the guys that you know suck, and they were the ones that benefit from it?
The Players Association.
There's no end.
We'll fight that. So you can't strip the players of playing time. What you can do as Major League Baseball is take the entire organization and say, sorry, you're not going to play in the playoffs. You can do that. The problem like that, and I thought this was foolish when it first came up, when anybody talked about stripping the Houston Astros of that title in 2017. But I don't think it's that foolish right now, because it's so bad. Everybody wants blood, and until you get blood, this is not going to go away.
Well, I just think that it is, rather than officially saying it, it's like that one, you know, executive said to Ken Rosenthal, it has been stripped, because nobody looks at it for real. Everybody questions it now. Everybody wonders. So, you know, yeah, great. You got your little piece of metal. You got your rings and everything else. Not going to get back to playoff shares, but nobody believes you've accomplished it. So that's, you know, players, do they care? Hey, they got their World Series. I don't care. But nobody believes you did it right. So that's never going to change. They're not going to take the World Series from these guys.
No, I don't think they
either. What do you think the NBA would
do? What
would the NBA do? Same situation. I know.
But where would the cheating in the NBA?
I'm just saying, but I just feel like they are.
Well, LeBron wouldn't stand for it.
Of course not.
He wouldn't stand for it. He would go effing crazy.
I know. I love how everybody's a tough guy.
So where would the NBA be? A guy fixing games?
Players how would they handle the punishment?
If there was a cheating scandal like this.
Yeah. How would they handle it? Because I just feel like what the hell? Why can't I remember his name? What the hell's the commissioner of the NBA? Adam Silver. If Adam Silver was running Major League Baseball, would he be?
I feel like it's easier in the NBA because you look at, like, say, 5-8 players. You know what I mean? And maybe you could sit there and say, okay, you know, eight guys, I'll suspend you. You know, I don't know. In baseball, because it's, what, 20-something players? What, are you going to hit everybody? Guys in and out of organizations. Marwin Gonzalez is with the Twins. Marisnik is with the Mets. Okay, you can't play for a week, first week of the season. I don't know. I'll admit, it is a tough spot. Because giving immunity to these players in order to get the truth, because if you don't, you say, okay, I'm not going to give you immunity. So there you go. Kill yourself. Tell me exactly what you did, because I'm about to suspend you and strip you of the World Series. Are you going to get the truth from them then? Now, one guy might speak, and then everybody's screwed. All hell breaks loose. It's a bad spot that I think, once again, as MLB has proved to me over the last few years, they don't think a damn thing through. And then when they just implement something, the next thing you know, they find themselves in it. And that's what he is right now. He is in the middle of it.
And then they're trying to pick up and clean up, and it becomes a bigger mess. And you have the Red Sox on deck right now with their investigation and what the hell happens there. All right, we'll get back to the phone call. 617-779-7937. Xander Bogaerts. Lou sat down with him this morning one-on-one. Some interesting thoughts by Xander. We'll get to all of that coming up as well here in this hour as we do it live down here in Fort Myers.
Catch the Greg Hill Show tomorrow morning from Red Sox spring training. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, the Brady Watch on WEEI, and we will get to the Brady Watch because there's an interesting player being talked about, maybe with New England. It's all brought to you by Northeast Electrical. We are powered by Difference. Visit needco.com.
Well, glad to see this story today. Red Sox outfielder Alex Verdugo met some young, intrepid reporters down at JetBlue Park and got an interesting answer about his playing status. Said, quote, probably just a little bit for his return after opening day. So a couple weeks he'll be returning back from the injury. The Bruins are back in action tonight, visiting the Edmonton Oilers. Puck drops at 8:30. Ryan Newman has been released from the Halifax Daytona Beach Area Hospital.
Boy, he walked out. We saw pictures.
He walked out
with his kids.
Yeah.
Like he was visiting somebody in the hospital as opposed to being a patient.
Maybe that's why the announcers, when they were calling the race and calling the crash, were like, no big deal.
No, it's still uncomfortable.
He's fine. Who won?
It is amazing. You look at a crash like that, the fire and everything else, And the guy not only survives, but he looks fine walking out of the hospital.
It's amazing.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Tight end Jordan Reed is finally healthy and looking for a fresh start. The Redskins reportedly will be releasing Jordan Reed. Could he be an option for the Patriots? Nice and cheap.
The only time Jordan Reed's ever healthy is the offseason.
That is true. OMF Live today through Saturday from Fort Myers, Florida. Glenn, Lou, and Christian will call the Red Sox and Rays game from JetBlue Park Saturday afternoon. Hear the call on the WEI Shaw Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. You'll hear Lou's conversation with Xander Bogaerts coming up at 3:30. I'm Tyler Devitt, and that's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEI.
I have to say I made one mistake, at least, during that long day. In an effort to make a rhetorical point, I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way. And I want to apologize for that. There's no excuse for it. I made a mistake. I was trying to make a point, but I should have made it in a more effective way. And again, I want to apologize for it. There is no greater pleasure in this job than awarding that trophy. I understand what it means. Again, it was a mistake to say what I said.
A commissioner's trophy. It's outright stupid. And even there, he made another mistake. Listen to what he said. I made one mistake. At least. What do you mean at least? So now you're admitting that you didn't make one mistake. You made many mistakes. He can't say a sentence without getting himself in hot water.
I don't even think if they, I don't think the players around the league even heard that apology. I don't think they care.
Well, you were pissed. I saw you on TV last night.
When you first heard it yesterday, you're like, oh, I guess he apologized. But then you're like, this isn't just like, you know, I don't know, a big advertiser in baseball or even like a manager or somebody. The commissioner of the league shouldn't even joke. Like, that should never cross his mind. I mean, it's just a piece of metal, Christian.
You rhetorical. Know,
it never should have been said by him, so I don't think anybody cares about it, the apology. I remember I talked today, actually, even Moreland. And it was, we had a little interview talking to him a little bit and little TV thing. And I asked him at the end about it, and the whole demeanor changed. And all of a sudden it got short. He's like, you know, it's more than a piece of metal to me. You know, and I'm like, so it means a lot to you. He's like, damn right it does. But you could see the look in his eye, and it just changed. You know what I mean? And these guys, this team won a couple. You know, talk to Xander here in a little bit. He won two. But to say that is just, there's guys everywhere right now in spring training to try to win that piece of metal.
So that commissioner needs more than any other commissioner in sports right now to find a way of convincing the guys who play the game that we need to alter the game for the marketing purposes, for people that want to watch the game, for the spectator, even though we're all, as players, you guys are pretty stubborn. Does anybody think that the commissioner, based on what he's done in the last couple of weeks, has brought himself closer to convincing those players that we have to change the nature of the game? No! So when we're talking about speeding up the game and pitch
he's
clock
made
and all this,
union stronger.
Exactly! Those players are going to sit there and say, I'm more adamant against doing any of these changes
you think
the commissioner wants.
The union's stronger?
Yes.
Against Manfred, yes.
Yes. Players are more united.
It's easy pickings right now. I mean, pile on. I mean, the man is down and barely holding on for dear life, and he's easy prey. I mean, you can totally kick him wise down. What's
no,
he
because
do?
You know what? When you come to an agreement, there's a level of like trust, or just like this is what they want, this is what we want, this is what we're looking for. I think that players are going to sit there and say, well, "Am I supposed to trust this guy? That this is going to be best for us years down the road?" You know, players don't fully understand. They take the recommendation of the union of what it means to future stuff. They're not going to sit there and trust this guy.
And you can also say, if I'm Rob Manfred, okay, just to play devil's advocate, I would say, listen, the reason we're in this position with, ratings are down, interest is low, losing all our fans, because you guys are a bunch of cheaters. Player-driven scam.
Go do something about it, Mr. Commissioner.
I did.
More than you did.
I somewhat punished you.
No, you screwed it up.
I gave you harsh scolding.
Yeah. No, you made it worse.
You fired a manager and a GM. That's what you did.
But, I mean, again, so see, on one hand, the Major League Baseball Players Association is going to sit there and say,
don't
do a damn thing to us. But on the other hand, they're going to say, do something about it. But they're the very ones not allowing anyone to do anything about it.
Oh, I know. It's a twisted triangle. Yep. I get you.
It's a twisted.
To the phone calls.
It's a pretzel.
Here's Rob in Swampscott. Hi, Rob.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good,
I'm good.
Hey, So I want to make a statement, then I need to ask a question to Lou, because as a former player of MLB, I think he has great insight into this. I believe that the foundation for this implosion that we're watching right now, those bricks were laid starting probably 10 years ago in 2010, when they started instituting all these in-game rules, not the steroid stuff and everything else, but the in-game rules supposedly for player safety, okay, which slowly eroded the ability for players to self-police in-game, in line, okay? So now, here's my question to Lou. I know you did not play against two out of three of these pitchers, but I believe you played against the last. I want to know if by, say, the third inning, Bob Gibson, Randy Johnson, Nolan Ryan started to notice every time they were getting ready to throw a curve, there was banging coming from the other team's dugout. How long do you think it's going to take before they put a ball in that batter's ear?
Oh, they would regulate.
It wouldn't last. You are correct. You know, and I think Clemens has talked about this before, actually. You know, I think somebody had asked him about it. There was a story about him, and the guy was sitting there saying that, you know, you saw a guy one time at second base stealing signs, and you said something about, you know, you do that again, I'm going to drill you in the head next time. Did you say that? And he said, no, I didn't. I said, I'd drill him in the effing head. So you're right. And just honestly, that fear would end it. He would actually execute it. They would do it properly, and it would end it. But, you know, years ago when the game policed itself, if somebody got drilled, they knew why, and they went to first base.
Right.
And they ended it because they knew that was the best way to end it. Now a guy probably sits there and says, oh, he's probably going to drill me because of something that happened. And when he gets hit, he starts mouthing off at the pitcher, even though he knows why he's getting hit. And next thing you know, the bench is clear, and here we go, right? It lasts for, like, weeks and 2 days and everything else. People don't just take it and go to first base, you know, anymore. So it has, because they protect him still. So it's changed it.
So players have already claimed that they're going to take their own justice in their own hands. The commissioner's come out now. Instead of chastising the players that were actually doing this, he's now going to protect those players against guys that are going to throw at
them. Vegas got involved.
Did you see
that?
Yeah. 83.5
is the line on how many hits batsmen for the Astros. Now, to put that in perspective, last year the Red Sox and Yankees both got hit 49 times, which I think is a high number because it's a good lineup. You know what I mean? So maybe you're trying to drop a guy or pitch guy in. So on average, 40 to 45, they set the number
at
83 and the hook.
Which would be second highest in baseball.
I'm not buying. I'm going under all day long because in the end, they're all a bunch of babies.
Wow.
They're all a bunch of it's real easy to talk trash when no one's going to do anything about it, and it's a fair game on just mocking and kicking the Astros while they're down. So you're telling me, right? And that's the problem with it. Everybody knows. So if you've never done anything, then fine. Have at it with the guys if you felt like you were wrong. So you tell me, give me five pitchers. You think Kershaw's going to throw at somebody?
I don't know.
I say no.
I don't know.
But you know what?
There's certain guys that will.
And then if you're the Astros, do you just keep letting yourself get
honestly,
hit? Maybe it's guys out of the bullpen.
No,
maybe teams designated. Here's what's going to happen.
I think
so many are going to do it that the commissioner is going to have another PR nightmare on his hands because the fans are going to be sitting there applauding the pitchers who throw with those guys.
Would Chris Sale throw at him?
I'm just saying what you don't know is like there's a pitcher out there that is sitting there saying, you know, I had a 2.98 ERA. If I didn't, in 3 1/3 innings in Houston, give up 14 runs.
Cost me a bonus.
You know what I mean?
Well, and all that of a sudden guy, now, I'm fine.
And then, I mean, think about it. It's like, why was John Farrell fired?
Because he had terrible interviews.
A lot of reasons. But do you think the second...
he needed to go to the lobsters.
But do you think the second consecutive one and done in the postseason might have been a reason?
Yeah.
Might have been. So, yeah. I mean, that's what's... No, I think it was the right move.
You think that had something to do with it?
I think it was the right move. But, yeah, maybe they beat them. Listen, they lost 8-2 on the road, and they came back and beat them 10-3 at home.
Yeah. And, again, I think another piece of shrapnel, another shrapnel effect. Great point. John Farrell.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sean's in the car. Go ahead, Sean.
Christian was wondering what would happen in the NBA if a scandal happened like this. We have a very clear example. Donaghy. They swept everything under the rug. There was no other investigation of any other officials. There were ties to other officials, phone call record, et cetera. They blamed it all on Donaghy. They slammed the door shut. Those officials were neither fired nor reprimanded, and that was it. That's what the NBA would do. They would sweep it under the rug.
Like mob justice, they get rid of the one guy, and then they buried everything. He's right.
Yeah, but it wasn't player-driven.
No, it was official.
Yeah, it's different,
but
though.
But it was
different.
The problem is I think they had too much information on the Astros to brush this under the rug.
To keep it isolated.
Yeah. You know, and unfortunately, it's, you know, they couldn't just get this team. You know, I don't know what they did with the NBA and the officials, but they couldn't just get this team. They had to tell you everything, and that just opened the door.
So the question is, what happens to the Red Sox in a week and a half, when the commissioner finally reveals the investigation? Lou sat down this morning with Xander Bogaerts of the Red Sox. You'll hear that coming up next.
Loney and Fourier,
live from Red Sox spring training in Fort Myers, Florida,
is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewards.
Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey.
And Howe's Lubricator.
Hi, back here on OMF. We're doing it live right now down in Fort Myers, Florida. We're actually at Twin Peaks. We'll be at the ballpark on Friday. We're doing the game, broadcasting the game against the Rays on Saturday. Lou was here bright and early this morning and had a one-on-one sit-down with Xander Bogaerts.
All right, we're talking to Red Sox shortstop Xander Bogaerts. Now, a lot has changed. You know, I want to start with some of the players here. A guy like Mookie Betts, someone you came up through the system, probably thought you were going to play together for a long time. You watched him grow. He's watched you grow. How odd would it be for you not having a guy like that in this locker room?
It would be odd. It would be odd. But you know what? After games, I normally go home and watch games on the West Coast, so I'll probably watch a lot of his games this year. Coming up, I've seen him make his debut. I remember when I was my first couple years in the big leagues, Andy Fox is like, hey, one guy down there you got to see is Mookie Betts. Like, he's, you know, the next big thing. And I'm like, well, wait till he get up, you know. And once he came up, he never disappointed with those words that he said. Obviously, his career has took off on a tremendous path. And he's such a great teammate and so beloved by all of us. I mean, fans, players, people in our organization. He's truly a special player, he is.
So I've talked to a lot of people that I really respect in this organization when we talk about David Price. And they say he's misunderstood because I think the fans see a different David. I think David sometimes in the camera would fight back, you know, and he was just a fighter. That's what he is. But with you guys praise him. I mean, you would stand by him thick and thin. Just talk about what it's like. Was he misunderstood, and what would that absence be like?
I think he's just such a good competitor, a great competitor. I remember on game days, you know, he has that face that like, hey, don't mess around with him today, you know, but that's just how he is, man, and that's why he's had so much success in the big leagues. He's learned how to prepare himself. He's learned himself how to get ready for a ball game. Especially, I think, once he got that kid, man. Once he got that kid, he definitely changed around a lot. I know in the beginning here, he got a lot of heat. Different media here than compared to maybe Tampa or Detroit or wherever he were before that, you know, and maybe he had to adapt to that also. So it was a change for him, I would say, but once he learned to deal with it and deal with it the right way, I think that's when he really opened up and being himself instead of being, like, mad at the media or stuff like that. He just had to understand that that's how it is over here, you know?
Yeah, I think back home, you know, a lot of people aren't happy with Mookie. You know, the Red Sox moving on from Mookie Betts. And I think, you know, you look at you two guys, and I think the thing is everybody's different, right? And he is a great player. I said there's no red flags with this kid. I always thought he was the second or third best player in the game. But he's just different, you know, whether if it's business, he wants to hit free agency. You took another path because that's just something you're comfortable with, but it's just about different people and different decisions, right?
Everyone's different. Yeah. Everyone's different, and I think everyone earned the respect for others to respect their decisions, and that's the one that he took. I think it was pretty clear with these guys. I don't know how far they got into negotiation talks and years and money and stuff like that, but I guess he figured it wasn't enough, and he took that path that he wanted to reach free agency, and he stuck to his guts with that one. And so far, that's the way it's going to play out, unless something happens differently now. But that's just how he is. You know, he's determined. He wanted to do that, and that's what he's going to do.
Because I always think the agent, you know, you obviously have Scott Boras, very powerful agent. Everybody looks at him. You know, he's got everybody, right? And they say, well, Scott will never let his clients do what you did. So that had to be obviously coming from you, and he's you're the player. He works for you, right?
Yeah, he works for you, and as I said, everyone's different. So I think the better he knows you as a person, the better idea he have what's best for you and what's best in your interest. And obviously, me being here my whole career, and this is pretty much all that I know. You know, these guys gave me a chance when I was so young, and very thankful for them probably for the rest of my life, you know, for the opportunity that they gave me. And everyone's different. Some guys want a lot. Some guys don't need a lot. So everyone's different, and it all depends on that person.
So another guy that's missing here is Alex Cora. I know he meant a lot to you. I know you talked about this last 2 years, the step you took. I've always looked around that team, and I've seen the growth of you, the growth of Devers, the growth of Erod and Vasky while he was here. I don't think that's a coincidence. Like the communication with the Latin-speaking players or just the way he relates to you to kind of give you that confidence to go out and maybe reach that level you should.
He obviously, by language, speak both languages. I think that made it easier to speak with the Latin guys, especially with Devers. I would say that's probably huge with him also because his English isn't the best, but he's working on it. He's improved a lot. But communicating with him in Spanish would probably be better, and AC did a great job with that with all of us. Eduardo, you know, Eddie had a couple injuries, and he overcame that. Last year he had a great year for us. I think everyone in this team has definitely benefited a lot from Alex, all in a positive way. He's helped us understand the game better. He's improved us. He's taken us to other heights. Obviously won a championship together. All I have to say is a good thing about this guy, man. I have absolutely nothing bad to say.
You know, and it is interesting because obviously, you know, when that report comes out with Houston, his name is there, but it seems like you guys have sort of moved beyond that because you're so close to him.
Yeah, yeah. We don't even think about that. Yeah. As I said, whatever he did in Houston, he was in Houston, but from the moment he came here, all he talked was positive. All he preached was positive. All he did was positive, and I think he's definitely someone that we miss. We know we got to move on from that. But he's someone we obviously cared a lot for, and he helped us a lot. So he's someone that's always welcome.
Have you talked to him since that report came out to try to?
Yeah, I've talked to him. He actually sent me a text today, actually, about his kids hitting the balls. And his kids were hitting ground balls. I'm like, hey, that's reminding me of my 2015 season, you know, just trying to hit ground balls. So we had a little joke. I texted him right when I got here in spring training. So I talked to him a lot. Obviously, we both like soccer, and he liked Liverpool. So the Champions League is going on. So we talk about different things. So it's been fun.
So and I heard you talk the other day when you addressed the media, and you and Chris kind of almost had a similar, you know, feeling towards – there's a lot of anger towards, you know, the Astros and what had happened. But it was – you guys were supposed to say, hey, listen, it's in the past. They got to deal with it now. That sort of thing. Does it? You hear the players, and they are angry with them. Is there any concern that they could move that anger towards you in a week or two, if a report
to the Red Sox?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think so. But I do see these guys. These guys are getting mad. I saw LeBron James also comment on it. I just feel like it's getting blown up more and more every day, you know. And I don't have an answer for how it's gonna. Yeah. All that talk is gonna die down. So. That's a problem that they have to deal with, you know. I'm happy that we don't have to deal with all of that hype, bad type of hype.
Yeah.
That's something on them, man. And, I mean, they know what they did. They know what they did wasn't right. So you got to deal with the consequences.
And you guys know what you did as far as going out there and competing and winning a championship. How much would that bother you if people start questioning that, whether it's legit or not?
Obviously it would, but I don't think that would be the same case with us. Obviously, we went out there and we had the best team that year, and we proved it to everyone. Last year, we dealt with a couple injuries, or else I think we would have been in a better situation. Yeah. But that's the way the game is. You know, you can't always have everyone healthy. And the other team were the best team last year. So we see how it goes this year, and we're excited for this new year and looking forward to it.
Over the weekend, Rob Manfred addressed everybody, and he made a comment and kind of called the World Series trophy a piece of metal. You've won two of those pieces of metal. When you heard that, what was your? It's a commissioner's trophy.
I know.
There's a guy calling it a piece of metal.
I saw
because I can tell you, I wasn't happy, and I've said my piece. You know about? Oh, I just think it's a ridiculous comment.
I saw a couple guys saying that, saying how he should take his name off of the trophy.
Yeah.
I mean, you play 162 games, trying to have the best record in the division.
You know, you're spending home in Aruba working out. You're down here right now for one goal, right?
And then he's just gonna say that. I don't think it was the right thing for him to say, obviously, but I think he apologized. That might take a while for a lot of people to let that sink in, but obviously he could have chosen some different words, but it wasn't the right and the nice way to say it, and we work so hard as baseball players just to get one ring, and to call it like that, I think it wasn't nice.
All right, lastly, as far as this year goes, real quick, your ankle. I know you've taken a couple of days off.
Just
nothing minor, getting ready.
Yeah, it's getting better now, so I'm very happy about that. Once I came in, it wasn't doing too good, but I'm actually real happy the way it's progressed these last couple of days. A couple of setbacks, but yesterday and today was some huge good points, and I'm looking forward to getting back on the field.
Last year you walked in here as World Series champs. This year a little bit different. You know, last year, like you mentioned, didn't go your way. Do you feel that little chip on your shoulder, especially when you trade away Mookie Betts and
you better
and David Price? It seems like they're kind of people writing you off.
I think there's a lot of people probably writing us off. Obviously, we lost one of the best players in the game, and David Price, and one of the best pitchers to ever pitch this game. So, guys with two great track records, great careers so far, and we miss those two guys. But there's a lot of guys that want to start up their career now. You know, a lot of guys is going to have new chances, new prospects, and we'll see how they perform. Obviously, I feel like every team that I've been on that won, we needed a young guy down there to help us out. So hopefully it'll be the same this year.
So when I watch you play and I hear you speak, how would you feel if I said this is your clubhouse? This is your team. You're leading this team.
I might say I'm one of them. You know, we obviously have a lot of older guys, especially Mitch being back is nice. Mitch has been a positive influence to all of us throughout these 3 years that he's been here. I don't think we would have won that championship without him, especially that homer that he hit off of Mattson. I can still remember that. But I'm not going to put too much pressure on myself. I know it's a lot. It's a young team, so we got to be patient also, especially with a lot of prospects that hopefully is going to come up and help us out. And it should be fun. You know, it should be fun. This game is kind of going into the younger area. I'm happy I'm still young, so we'll see how that goes.
All right. Listen, Xander Bogaerts, appreciate it, man. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Xander Bogaerts, good stuff, Lou.
Here's what jumps out at me.
Because I think the guy really gets it, and I think you're right. I think it's his club mainly because he's an experienced veteran right now. He's taking his game to another level, and he really gets it and understands it. David Price, I think he was really honest. He had trouble adapting to the media. It's so different than Tampa Bay coming to Boston. When he talked about Mookie Betts, he got it. The fans don't get it, but he says Mookie stuck to his guns. He was determined to go to free agency. Business because he wanted to go to free agency. He gets to Alex Cora, and he talks about how he came from Houston with all that other stuff, and it was all very positive here. And then says, but I'm happy I don't have to deal with all of that stuff.
Yeah.
When you brought up the possibility that all of their lives might change in a week and a half, if the commissioner starts pointing the finger at him, they are in la-la land of saying, nope, none of that stuff.
He kind of chuckles. No, they're not going to say that about us.
How are they so confident based on how this commissioner has dealt to this point? I would be scared to death that the commissioner is going to do something.
But why, if you really didn't do anything, you should never have anything to be worried about.
You didn't do the trash cans, but you might have done something else. You might have used the video. The commissioner might come out and slap you.
I don't know.
Because
in some way
you use technology.
I get it.
For the science
team. I know that it, from, I swear to God, from when that report came out, I think shortly after that, I was saying that they don't think they did anything. They still don't think they did anything. They don't. They have no idea what the commissioner thinks he knows. They don't. You know, we've talked about it before. This group was very advanced when Alex Cora showed up in stealing signs, whether it be the right way or through preparation or scouting reports, and took that into a game. Again, they had a system in place as well in 2017. They were into it. So when Alex showed up, he kind of looked around and was like, wow, you guys get it. You guys got it figured out. You know what to look for. You know that. You know, some of the things that I've talked to some people about, whether it is taking advantage of a lazy catcher or looking at a pitcher and saying, you know, he's tipping his pitches, not to the hitter, but to the guy on second. So now it's like I'm sitting there saying, well, I can take advantage. I know what to look for. I'm taking advantage of the pitcher. I don't care what signs you put down. You might think I'm stealing your signs. I'm not. I'm stealing it from you. Standing on the mound a certain way, showing me the grip, showing me different things, the way you put the ball in. It was so advanced that they're just good at it. So I swear to God, these guys have no idea what the commissioner is looking for, what he thinks he found, because they don't think they did anything wrong.
Yeah, so the other thing that – there's a couple things that stood out to me, and you let me know if you agree with this. One, you talk about Rafael Devers, his development, how important it was for to have a Latin-speaking manager.
Huge.
Guy that – you know, who can relate not only based on life experience, but, you know, in the language, right? We literally speak the same language. So there's a trust level there that may not be there with somebody else. I mean, it still doesn't mean it can't be, but it's easier, I would say.
I would worry
about that. Especially for a young guy. So my question is, Does that delay his development? Does he take a step back? Does Rafael Devers, one of the guys that suffers from the fact that Cora is not here?
I would worry.
Is he old enough and mature enough to kind of adapt on his own now?
I think it's a great point. The thing that struck me as well when he talked about the language and he's been a little slower picking up the language. We had a lot of conversations last year on the air and off the air with Alex about Rafael Devers.
A lot.
And a lot off the air because he was amazed at some of the things that this kid was able to do. And he talked about how he was on his back all the time. And there's one thing about having a guy that you really feel comfortable with that's on your back, so it looks like it's really positive influence, as opposed to somebody else that you might not be as comfortable with. I would worry about Rafael Devers because he's still a really young kid. Yeah. He took his game to the next level. Alex Cora, that would be, of all the players on this team, with no Alex Cora, Devers is the one I worry the most about.
Yeah, and the other ones, too, I would throw in there is, you know, Vasquez and Erod together.
Yep.
In that, you know, both of them, and I've talked about it before, you know, both of them get a little giddy. You know, both of them get a little, hey, things got to get right. Like, you know, how many times you see Erod, like, you know, maybe last year he did a much better job with it, but in the past, you know, first inning striking out the side, and he's kind of, you know, the pimp walk, kind of walking off the field, you know what I mean? Like he accomplished something, only to give up three runs in the second inning. Or Vasquez out there, like, you know, calling a game and framing pitches, and then all of a sudden just getting a little lazy and not blocking a ball that affects a ball game. And those guys staying on them, they've accomplished a lot, but they're still young players in this game, if you ask me. But Devers, every time we always talk to Alex about Devers, he always would say, don't discredit the guy to his left and the impact he's having on him, meaning Xander Bogaerts.
Yep.
So Alex is gone. Rafi's hopefully learned some lessons that he could take from Alex Cora. He still has Bogey there to kind of reinforce those things. And then you start talking about an influence of a couple other guys. One is Carlos Febles, who everybody knows, the third base coach, who I think another infield instructor has a big influence. And another guy, Ramon Vasquez, who I don't really think anybody really knows that much on the staff that I play with in San Diego, that's friends with Alex, that's still here on the staff. Another infielder, too. So Latin speaking. So I think all those guys sort of, you know, you take what you learn and hopefully you build on it.
I think it's a factor. And, you know, people talk about this team and can they be a playoff contender? I know you guys were talking about that on your baseball show with Tomasi of, you know, whether this team can compete or not. Well, I think we all know that Chris Sale's going to have to be healthy and give you probably about 30 starts for you to be able to do it.
Yeah.
You figure he's going to be down for a couple weeks, but he can't be down for a month, month and a half, or you're in trouble. People forget the other guy that was phenomenal last year was Rodriguez. He was 19-6 with 34 starts and a .381 earned run average. You're asking him now to come back and duplicate that to a team that won 84 wins. And you want to make the postseason this year? That's a lot to expect out of Erod to do that again.
I tell you what else I think is going to happen. It's the other thing I wrote down. I will save it for you. Because I think that even though Alex Cora is not here, he will still have an impact on Rafael Devers, Xander Bogaerts, and Eduardo Rodriguez. I'm going to tell you how. I'm going to tell you how when we come back. You got to think about it. You got to think about what I'm going to say.
I like it.
You want some bacon? Eat some bacon. It's the best bacon. They should call this bacon gum.
I'm the fat guy at the table, and you're the one ordering all of this food.
It's chicken and bacon.
And you told me you're on a diet.
I am.
No, you're not.
It's lettuce.
I know diet. I know non-diet.
Hold on. This is non-diet, which is like a zero, and like chicken and some bacon.
There's a bunch of other stuff on top of that. All right, 617-779-7937. Our phone number, OMF. We're doing it live down here in Fort Myers.